So it's a beautiful morning, and we're gathering, preparing for the Lord's Supper. It might be a celebration. It's almost like a Thanksgiving dinner coming together. And the sermon this morning is out of John, that unity of people that Christ was talking about. Jesus said, "The glory that God gave me, I have given to humanity, so that they may become one as we are one." God and Jesus are one, we are one with, and Jesus says, "I in them and you in them, and they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." That's pretty amazing, all completely one. I'm pretty excited about that idea, but some view that as saying we're all going to become one monolithically, one everything, one language, one color, one culture, one maybe one age. I don't know how far you can push that to become uniform or monolithic, or however you want to define it. How many of you feel like your families are all one together? Whenever I describe my families, I describe them as my in-laws and my outlaws. I have a little bit of both in my clan. Any of you? No, I'm sure none of you have that sort of background. Ours is a blended family. Mom remarried, so I was raised with one set of half-siblings, and there was another group of half-siblings I've never met. And maybe I don't want to. I don't know. I'm a little apprehensive about that. I did one of the DNA tests. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have done a DNA test? You know, you scan and you send it in and they send you back. So not too many of you. You're trying to protect yourselves from the law and from, you know, all right, well, never mind. I got mine back. It was pretty entertaining. My mom always said we were Heinz 57. You've heard of 57 different varieties, Heinz 57 varieties? And she's not far from wrong, but Scottish, Irish, English, Northern German, Northern European mostly in my heritage. I kind of wish I had known that growing up in high school. I would have practiced a Scottish brogue. I'd love to break into a Scottish brogue or a Welsh accent right now. It would embarrass them and me and you, and it would just not be pretty. And I can imagine, parts of me are thinking, I'd like to go and visit some of the ancestral areas. My sister-in-law and her daughter went to Scotland and drove around, and they drive on the wrong side. They drive on the left side of the street, and I said I could never pull that off. I mean, habit is so sent in me, I don't think I could imagine it. My sister-in-law, Sue, did it perfectly. She's an amazing lady. But I can imagine going back there and finding my roots and going and meeting some of my ancestors and them looking at me thinking, "Oh, Lord, one of those strange Americans coming here and trying to pretend to be part of our clan." And I'm not sure, again, that I want to know too much about it. As I said, I have some outlaws in my family, and they'd be asking me for money or something. But it's intriguing to have gotten my DNA thing, because there's a small sliver that says I'm from Central. There's a piece of me from Central Africa. I would love to know the story behind that. I would love to know how that blend of genetic material came to be a part of my makeup. In high school and college, I had dark black hair, and I wore it in a fro. You know, that was kind of this, not a big one, just, you know, close cut, and it curled real nice and tight. Perfect. You get up in the morning, you wet it, and you go. Perfect haircut. It's not the same anymore. I don't know what's happened to that, but I always wondered if I had some black heritage. Not much, as DNA would say. And it doesn't make me a part of those cultures as much as I would love to know something about them. And that's the best I can do, is just learn about them. But it takes a lot. I could study and I could bone up on the history, but acculturation is a whole different thing. When I was in Ordway, Colorado, I served that little church southeast Colorado. Do you know where Ordway is? You go down to Pueblo and you turn left and you drive till you can't see the mountains anymore. And they got tarantulas and roadrunners and desert and scrub. And that's Ordway. And it was a fine, wonderful, good little church. It was a lot of fun. But one of the families there had been farming there for generations. And the daughter married this fella from New Jersey. And not only did she marry this guy from New Jersey, but he came back, moved back to Ordway with her, and he was going to be farming. And the farmers looked at each other and shook their heads. A New Jersey native is going to come here and farm in the arid southeast Colorado? They said, you got to grow up with it. You can't just be taught it. You got to learn it from knee high to an adult, and you're constantly learning. Farmers he proved them wrong. It's a rare instance, and they admitted that, but he got in there, he did a great job, and he learned, and he farmed, and he not only farmed crops, but he farmed people. He was a heck of a nice guy. Who'd have thought that from New Jersey? Now, I get to do that because my dad was from New Jersey, and he's the greatest person I've ever met. But acculturation is something that we learn and we grow, and it just becomes a part of us that's always been there. I'm always tickled when I move from church to church, which hymns are familiar. I'll pick a hymn that I'm really familiar with, and Blessed Colleen or whoever the accompanist will email me and say, we've never heard this before, and you can do it if you want, but just be aware that we may need to work on it a little. And I'll think, we sing that all the time. And so there's history that comes with things, isn't there? There's acculturation. And there's diversity. I had never sung any Tongan stuff until we got here. I still don't do it successfully. Ask Paya. I try to do some Tongan stuff, and she just laughs at me. You've heard Paya's delightful laugh, haven't you? It's a nice thing. It's delightful. And thank you, Paya, for putting up with me, as you always do. So this diversity thing, is that natural or unnatural? What do we think about that? Should there be diversity? Maybe we should. When I was growing up, I thought, well, if we all just took all of the little kids at a certain age and moved them to another planet and raised them all together the same, there'd be no discrimination, there'd be no anything, and we just, and they'd all have the same language and they're all cultures. Wouldn't that be wonderful? As I've aged, I realize how much we would be leaving out. The differences in cultures. I mean, I thought I knew how to tell time, but the Tongans have a whole different way of telling time. And we laugh and we have a wonderful time with them. You do things when it's time to do them. Haitians are exactly the same. You come together, and when everybody's ready, that's when you start. It isn't 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. It's when you're ready and when everything's set. You Tongans call it when the coconut drops, right? Isn't that the phrase? And it takes a little bit of a challenge for us Caucasian, anally clock-following people to adjust to that and to understand that sometimes things happen in the spirit of the times and of the people. It's a wonderful thing, and it's something that I'm relearning. I'm still wearing a watch, but I'd like to get rid of it. It's coming. So there's a societal divide still over this uniformity or diversity thing. The current movement societally is to reject diversity, and that's a problem for me. And it's kind of hypocritical to think that we need uniformity and just monolithic being, because we're all immigrants. We have all come from a variety of interesting places. And I'd love to see those DNA divisions from where different people have come from and their ancestry and their different cultures and their different traditions. And that diversity is God-given. God made us. That should get an amen. God made us. And God made us all different. Some of us are different in different ways, but that's another story, and we won't go down that road too far. Jesus said, the glory, God, the glory that you have given me, I have given to humanity, so that they may be one as we are one. And in a lot of ways, it seems to say that we should all be exactly the same, that we should all do everything exactly the same. Churches don't even do everything the same. Even United Methodist churches don't do everything the same. Even United Methodist churches in our Mountain Sky Conference don't do everything the same. Even churches in our Mountain Sky District, I don't know the name of our district anymore. We changed the name, didn't we? Northeast Colorado, what is it, Metro? Well, Mountain Sky is our conference now. It doesn't matter. Our district, in our district, we have churches that are diverse. You can go to one church and you sit down to worship and you'll find some differences in the way they do things. I think it has to do with these pastors that are just rebels and don't obey and pay attention to things. And that's a good thing. But we also come to every place we come through culture and through heritage. We come through a heritage of religious heritage, not so much polity all the time, but I got to visit a Korean Presbyterian church once, and that was lovely worship service. It was all in Korean. I don't speak Korean. And it was a worship service, and I hummed along to the hymns that I knew the melody to, but the words were in Korean. But it was a gathering, and I felt included. But it was different. It was a different way of being in that group. So we were all one because we all turned, and we all turned to worship, and we all worship Christ. And that's enough. Because if we put Christ at the center of it all, that's what he's talking about. We are one. If we listen to what Christ is teaching us, it's enough, and we are one. So we come from different places. We come from our heritage of different churches and languages. And even in our hymnal, it's kind of fun. How many different languages are expressed in our hymnal? There's Spanish. We've sung a handful of Spanish hymns. You know one pretty well. Oh, Lord, you have come to the lake shore. You remember that one? Oh, Lord, you have come to the lake shore. That one is originally in Spanish. And we're singing the English translation. That's why sometimes the words don't fit perfectly with the meter. But that's okay. Amazing Grace, have you ever heard that one? It's kind of an obscure hymn. Amazing Grace, have you heard that one? How many of you ever sung that one? Anybody ever sung Amazing Grace? This is not a trick question. Okay. How many different versions of languages are there in our hymnal? It's astonishing. It's a delightful sort of thing. I can't sing any but English and that poorly. So we have this culture of worshiping together. We have a culture that comes from the saints who have gone before us. You have saints that have gone before you, yes. You have those saints that have raised you and taught you and led you and maybe even introduced you to worship here in church. And brought you as a piece of this worshiping body. You grew up here. That's a lovely thing. And those heritages are important. The heritage of, of understanding not only just our families, but the family of us as Christians. Our family, going all the way back to Jesus and his family. Remember, they were immigrants in Egypt for a period. They had to flee. Remember, it was Herod was going to kill Jesus, and an angel warned them, said, you got to leave. And so they went into Egypt, where they were welcomed and supported from their persecution. So this is in our religious DNA. How many of you can name all 12 of the apostles? Richard, yeah, I bet you can. And someday we're going to have to sit down, because I could get most of them given time, but we don't go through that often enough, do we? There's 12 of them. And what's even more important is not just who they are and their names, but it's the cultures they come out of. They are as different as night and day. They are from different regions and different traditions. And Jesus selected them. Now, if you're going to build a support team, you want to get people that think like you, talk like you, act like you, came from your culture, right? But Jesus didn't do that. And he did that on purpose, that diversity. So how can we be united in Christ? How can we be the same? Were these apostles the same in him? It's been a struggle ever since he passed and rose again. And the apostles were set to lead the church. There was division. Some thought they should lead. There was a bunch. There's a Johannine church and there's a Petrine church. We call that the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope. There's all kinds of divisions, and the church is split and split and split. And so we have all of these divisions, but we also have unity, because we turn to this one same text and the one same Christ. Amen? So unity, diversity, and all we are about, and Jesus reminding us to be one. One in central aspects. Love one another. Take care of one another. That's what Jesus did with us. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Compassion, caring, love. Wonderful gifts from our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are here in worship and now gathered, we now turn to that ceremony, that rite, that act of remembrance, wherein we recall what he taught us, the Lord's Supper. Amen.